The title of the series is Plan Your Route. Would you please say that out loud? Say, plan your route. Let's personalize it. Say, I need to plan my route. Okay, now pinch your neighbor and say, hey, you need to plan your route. You need to plan your route. And the subtitle today is the 40-day challenge. The 40-day challenge. And so I want to read this verse to you. Psalm chapter 20 and verse 4 says this, may he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. And so we talked a little bit about that last week, making plans with the Lord, praying about things, and the fact that the Lord will give us the desires of our heart. He says, may he give you the desire of your heart and make your plans succeed. The Lord wants to give you grace to succeed. He wants to give you the strength to succeed. He wants to give you the capacity and the wherewithal to succeed. And so we developed this last week, but just to say it again, let's set our GPS and plan some things out with the Lord. Let's set our GPS and then begin to plan some things out for the Lord as we look into this next year. Now, it does take some discipline and some work to implement a plan. So please don't be afraid of the word work. It takes a little bit of discipline. It takes some work to get things done. Now, what's interesting about this verse in Psalm chapter 20 and verse 4, may he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. The verse right above it says this, may he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. And so I want to just underscore this today. That when we talk about hard work, when we talk about discipline, there is this element of sacrifice. There is this element of offering things to the Lord, offering your life, offering your time, offering your resources to the Lord. And so it does take some sacrifice for plans to succeed. It does take some hard work for plans to succeed. And so I want to submit this at the outset. Let's be willing to sacrifice and give some things as an offering to the Lord. Would you be willing to sacrifice some of your time? Would you be willing to prioritize and just demonstrate to the Lord and to yourself that he is number one in your life? And so as we talk about the 40-day challenge, I would encourage you to think of it in the sense of a sacrifice or an offering to the Lord. This is actually a reasonable request. Some might say, well, that is really hardcore to talk about dedicating your time to prayer and to fasting over such a long period of time. But it is a reasonable request. So let me just mention some scriptures to you to set this up for us. The first one is in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans 12. And verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your reasonable act of worship. So to offer yourself to the Lord, to offer your body to the Lord, to sacrifice by working for the Lord or doing things for the Lord, It's pleasing to God, but look at this. It's a reasonable act of worship. It's reasonable. It's not unreasonable. It's very reasonable to become a living sacrifice for the Lord. And so I would encourage you to think of it in terms of this, that this is reasonable, that the Lord would ask us to dedicate ourselves, to sacrifice some things to him. And this involves denying the sinful nature. It denies the flesh. So when the Bible talks about the flesh, it's talking about your carnality. It's talking about your weaknesses. And it's talking about your sinful nature. And so it's very biblical and scriptural to deny your flesh so that you can be a living sacrifice, so you can be pleasing to the Lord. Galatians 5 and verse 24 says this, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Even if you've been walking with the Lord for a long time and you're growing in the Lord, there is this aspect where you got to crucify your flesh. You got to crucify your sinful nature. You die to the flesh. You don't give in to things. You don't give in to anger or to temper or to speaking unkindly all the time. What's interesting about this verse is the verses right before Paul talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And so to be kind, to be compassionate, to be loving, to be patient, that's right before this verse. And then he says, yeah, you crucify the flesh. You crucify your sinful nature. So you deny the sinful nature. This is a reasonable request. And so we offer our bodies as living sacrifices. We deny our sinful nature. And that's because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says this, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Aren't you glad that if you're born again today, that the Holy Spirit is inside of you? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, what's interesting about this verse is contextually here, he's talking about morality. And so we honor the Lord with our bodies. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You're the carrier and the courier of the Holy Spirit. So he's inside of you. So it's reasonable to say, hey, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, honor God with your body. Don't destroy your body with drug addiction. Don't destroy your body with immoral behavior. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So offer that up to the Lord and be a living sacrifice. Let it be an offering to the Lord. This is reasonable. Paul says it's a reasonable act of worship. And so this is something that's a reasonable request. Some people might think, well, that's too intense or that's too difficult. No, it's a reasonable request to live our lives pleasing to the Lord. Now, I want to also tell you about an unreasonable reward. If there's a reasonable request, there's actually an unreasonable reward. What do I mean by that? Well, the fact that God blesses you is actually unreasonable because you're messed up. Because if it was based on your works, you would never get blessed. I would never receive a blessing for the Lord. But yet God still blesses me. That's unreasonable. That's undeserved grace. That's undeserved favor. God just loves you. He wants to bless you. So it's a reasonable request that God would say, you know what? Jesus died for you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know what? Just live for him. Please him. But it's unreasonable reward for him to bless you in so many different ways because we're messed up, because we don't get what we deserve. And so it's an unreasonable reward. Let me explain it to you this way. It's unreasonable for the Lord to approve of you. The approval of the Lord. Listen to 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Now, there's two aspects to this verse. He says, present yourself to God as one approved. When you present yourself to God, you are approved as his child. You've already been approved. That's really important. So he approves of you as his child. He accepts you as his child. So when you present yourself to God, you don't have to seek his approval as a child. He's already approved you. He's already said, you're my child. He's already demonstrated how much he loves you. He sent his one and only son to die for you. He has approved of you as a child. And so you don't have to come to the Lord out of shame. You don't have to come trying to get his approval. No, you have his approval as a child. But what this verse is saying is you're looking for approval as a workman, or in other words, with your actions. Can you see the difference there? If you have children today, you approve of them as your child. They're your child. That's not going to change. You love them, even if they mess up, even if they're disobedient. You approve of them as your child. But there might be some times that they disobey you. And so you don't approve of their actions. You still love them. They're a princess, but sometimes they don't act like a princess. They are a prince, but sometimes they don't act like a prince. And so you love them. You approve them as a child. You approve them with who they are in their identity. but maybe their actions aren't quite there. And so this is what Paul says. You come to the Lord as one approved. You're approved as a child of God. Listen, God will never reject you. God will never forsake you. He accepts you. He approves of you as his child. But this is almost like a dual thing. He accepts me as a child, but then I do need to have some actions that are pleasing to the Lord. I do need to be a workman that is approved of God. And so this is the delicate balance. And so this is approval of the Lord. So this is unreasonable favor. Unreasonable that he would love you as a child, he would accept you as a child, and he would reward you, even if your actions don't always deserve it. Say amen to that. That's what grace is. Grace is receiving the favor and the blessing of the Lord, even if we don't necessarily deserve it. Now, some of you may have heard this story that's told about a young lumberjack. And so this young lumberjack wanted to prove that he was the best lumberjack. And so he challenged a veteran lumberjack to see who could cut down more trees in a single day. He wanted to prove that he was the best, wanted to compete against this older veteran lumberjack. And so they began the competition, and all day long he was working furiously. He was working fast to cut down these trees with his axe. And every once in a while, he would look over and he would see the veteran sitting down. And he thought, I've got this. This guy is older. This guy's getting tired. I'm going to cut down so many more trees than him. All day long, all day long. At the end of the day, they counted up the trees. And to his surprise, the veteran had cut down more than he had. And so he went over to him and he had to concede victory. And he was frustrated by it, but he went over to him and says, I don't understand how you beat me, because you were sitting down. Throughout the day, I would see you just sitting down, taking a break. And the veteran lumberjack said, well, you perceive that as a break, but I was sharpening my axe. I was sharpening my axe. Now, when I talk about prayer and fasting, and I talk about giving some things up to the Lord, it's like sharpening your axe. It's like sharpening your spiritual edge. When you deny yourself and you deny your flesh and you deny your sinful nature, when you deny those very things, what you're doing spiritually is you're sharpening your axe. And I think all of us can get spiritually dull. I know oftentimes I feel like I've lost my spiritual edge. And what I have found and what I've discovered is a life of giving up things and a life of fasting really begins to bring that spiritual edge and that spiritual sharpness back. And so I really want to encourage you today to be thinking and praying about this. Now, there's an unreasonable reward, the reward that God will bless us with. Now, I want to show you Matthew chapter 6, and this is where Jesus talks about fasting. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read verses 16 to 18. Jesus says this, when you fast. Let me pause right there. In other words, there was an expectation that they would fast. It was just common practice. So Jesus just says, when you fast. He's already expecting them that they're going to fast. This was a spiritual practice. It was very, very common in Judaism. It was very, very common in the first century. It was very common in the church. So Jesus says, when you fast, but then he gives us some instruction. Do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So now he touches on the motivation of fasting. Some people fast for attention. Some people fast because they want people to think that they're more spiritual than somebody else. Jesus said, you've missed it. You've missed it. The purpose of fasting is to deny your flesh in order that the Lord can receive more room in your life and so that you can get your spiritual edge and your sharpness back. He's expecting us to fast, but he wants us to do it with the right motives. Now, typically when you fast alone, that wouldn't be something that you would necessarily announce to everyone else. There are private fasts. Now, we're about to go into a corporate time of prayer and fasting starting at the beginning of the year. And so in that regard, it's not inappropriate for us to say, oh, we're all fasting at different times. You don't have to necessarily give the details, but you haven't lost your reward because you've entered into a corporate fast. There are different kinds of fasts. The whole purpose of this verse is that we do it with the right motive. Amen? And so this is the reward of fasting. So we want to talk about the 40-day challenge, all right? Now, the average person lives about 25,000 days. That's not a long time. The Bible says you've got about 70 or 80 years if you have the strength. So the average person lives about 25,000 days. Now, 40 days can help break old habits and establish new patterns. So I don't think it's unreasonable to say to the Lord, out of 365 days and out of 25,000 days that I have to live, that I'm going to give you a season of 40 days to begin the year to show that you're number one in my life. And in that process, it can break negative habits and it can establish new patterns. And so the studies have shown that there's something about 40 days. 40 days can break some habits off your life, and 40 days can help establish some new patterns in your life. And so I just really want to encourage you, this season that we're going to go into of 40 days, start thinking and praying about what you can do to give to the Lord, to prioritize certain things. Now, there are many different kinds of fasts, and this isn't the purpose of my message, but you can fast in many different ways. Some of you might want to fast the entire 40 days. And we've had some people that have gone on complete fast without food and just liquids for 40 days. Some of you might want to do something different and say, you know what, I want to go on a media fast for 40 days. You know, that might even be more powerful for some of you than to go without food, to actually go without media. But one of the things that warms my heart, and we used to do this when our kids were young, but just hearing the testimonies of young families that have said to their, and parents who have said to their kids, you know what, we're going to not watch movies, maybe for a week, maybe for 40 days, or we're not going to do entertainment, but we're going to play games and we're going to read books. And then I'll hear the testimonies of how this has really brought families together. And so I want you to know we're going on a 40-day challenge. You may want to go all 40 days, but we know that 6 weeks is a long time. And so some of you might just go for 3 days. You might go for a week. You might do a week and then take a break because you've got some things at work or family, and then you come back in for a week. But as a church, we want to go on this 40-day challenge, where as a church, we know that we're in a season of prayer. It's a corporate season of prayer and of fasting. And we have just seen that it is a wonderful season of really focusing on the Lord, of denying our flesh and putting the Lord in that place of priority. Can you say amen, church? And so I want to talk to you today about 40 days. There's actually 7 significant events in the Bible that involve 40 days. And so I want to show you the power of 40 days, and then I want to lift out a spiritual principle. I want to lift out a promise or a reward that you can expect as you go into this season of prayer and fasting. And just be spirit-led. This isn't about legalism. One person is not more spiritual than the other. Somebody might fast from food. Somebody might do something else. One person's not more spiritual than the other if they do or don't do these things. That's really important. This isn't about legalism. But I'm just putting this invitation out for you to come with me on this journey, because I've found that it really restores my spiritual edge. And it really releases things in my life, and I've seen it in the church as well. And so it's an invitation. It's not legalism. Again, you have God's approval as a child, but we do some disciplines and other things where we're working for the Lord. And I could give you multiple examples of that. And so what it does is it denies your flesh, prioritizes God's preeminence in your life, that he's number one, and then you begin to focus on the Lord. Said another way, you could say it this way. What will I give up so that I can focus on the Lord? What will I give up so that I can focus on the Lord? And so it might be an activity. It might be something. It might be a certain food group. You might want to do a Daniel fast. You might want to say, you know what, I'm gonna deny sugar for 40 days. You would be surprised what that will do to kick things off in your life physically. And so you pray about it. You be spirit-led. But let me give you some promises and rewards. And I'm going to just share some events. There are seven significant events in the scripture when it comes to 40 days. The first one is the flood. The flood. So God destroys the earth with the flood. And the Bible tells us that Noah is in the ark for 40 days and 40 nights. So listen to Genesis 8 and verse 6. This is after the flood. After 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the ark. So after 40 days. So the first reward or promise that I just want to encourage you to pray about is that there'll be an open window. If you'll go on a 40-day challenge, I believe in my heart, God's going to open up windows for you. He's going to open up doors for you. Maybe you need an open window in your life. Maybe you need an open opportunity for your job, for your kids. An open window. This is a promise, and this is a reward. Now, in Genesis 8 and verses 15 to 17, it says, "Then God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it." It was after the 40 days of the flood that God opens up a window. And then he tells them, you're going to multiply, you're going to be fruitful. Do you know God wants you to be fruitful? He wants you to multiply. He wants you to be a person of increase. That would be spiritually. That would be in your walk with the Lord. But it would be financially. It would be in every way. God wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to increase. He wants you to multiply. So I'm here to prophesy to you today. I'm here to declare to you that if you'll go on a 40-day challenge, however the Lord leads you, not only will the Lord sharpen your edge, but he's going to open up windows of opportunities for you so that you can be more fruitful and you can multiply. Say amen to that. And so to me, that's exciting because I see the 40-day challenge as, wow, God's opening up windows. He's opening up opportunities. He's opening up doors for me. I have seen where oftentimes there might be doors that are shut, windows that are shut, that we have knocked at. But after a time of prayer and fasting in the Lord's timing, the window just opens. And increase and multiplication come. So that's the first event. The second event is when Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. And so what did he get on Mount Sinai? He got a word from God. He got a word from God. So listen to Exodus 34, 28 to 29. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. Now this is a supernatural fast because you can go 40 days without food, but you can only go about three, maybe a little more without food, and you're going to start going into starvation. But this was a supernatural fast. The Lord sustained him without food and without water, without liquid. But he goes for 40 days. As he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Oh, this is powerful. If you go on a 40-day challenge, you're going to meet with the Lord. You'll meet with him face to face. Thank the Lord for Jesus. You're going to meet with him face to face. And you know what? You're going to come out of this experience shining, being radiant for the Lord. And God gives him the covenant, gives him the Ten Commandments, gives him the testimony. You're going to come out of this experience with a word from God. It'll either be the general word of the Lord that is sharp and living and active within you, or he might even give you a very specific word for something that you're praying about, for your situation, for your family, for your job, whatever it might be. you go to the Lord in this 40-day challenge, and you go to that mountain, that 40-day challenge with the Lord, you're going to come off that mountain with God's word. Say amen to that. So the first promise, the first reward is a window opens for multiplication and increase. The second one is that you'll come off the mountain with the word of the Lord. This is wonderful, where we just harness our time, where we focus and prioritize our time in the 40-day challenge, and then God begins to speak to us. The third one, the third event with 40 days, was when Moses sent the spies into the promised land. And he sends them in for 40 days. Listen to Numbers chapter 13 and verse 25. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. Now, what's amazing about this, and most of you remember the event, when they came back, the 12 spies, 10 of them had a bad report. 10 of them said, there is no way that we can go in and take the land. But Joshua and Caleb, they believed that they could actually do it. And so listen to Numbers 13 and verse 30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. This word certainly in the Hebrew really could be translated this way, that we have the capacity to do it. We have the power and the capacity to do it. So the 10 spies said, we can't go in and take it because the descendants of the Anak are there, the Nephilim are there. In other words, there were giants in the land. It was too difficult. We cannot go in and take the promised land. Joshua and Caleb were different. And they said, you know what? We have the capacity to do this. So I want you to know there's always a good report and a bad report for your life. But you have to decide which report are you going to believe. Are you going to believe the bad report that there's no way you can do it? Or are you going to believe the good report that says, man, we can certainly do it? And so this is so important, because what this means is that they identified with God's promises. They said, man, we can do it. We have the capacity. They identified with God's promise. If you'll go on this 40-day challenge of exploring the land, of praying, you'll come out with more faith that says, man, I have the ability and the capacity to go after the promises of God. In other words, you identify with God's promises. A lot of God's promises, yes, are obtained by prayer and faith, but you identify with them. And so I've discovered this. In the 40-day challenge, as I deny my flesh, what rises up inside of me is this new identification with the Lord to say, you know what? I'm not listening to my sin nature as much. I'm not listening to the desires of the flesh. What I'm listening to is the word that I've gotten from the Lord, and I'm realizing who I am in Christ, and my sharpness and spirituality is laser focused, and I'm able to identify with the promises instead of the problems. Say amen to that. And so we identify with that. We identify with the promises of God. So we have an open window. We have a word from God. We have identification with God's promises, which is exploring the promised land. The next event where you see 40 days is when David fought Goliath. And so in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 16, it says, for 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. So for 40 days. But yet God gives David weapons to attack. God gives David the victory. And so you remember the event. David goes and he gets stones. And listen to 1 Samuel 17, verses 48 to 49. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. I think it's significant that this was in the process of a 40-day challenge. So I'm here to declare to you today, if you'll go on this 40-day invitation with the Lord, you will come out and you'll see some giants defeated in your life. And so I said that a 40-day time period can break habits and it can release new patterns in your life. And so maybe you have a giant in your life that needs to fall. Maybe you have a giant that has been taunting you, a giant that has been defeating you. If you'll go on the 40-day challenge, you may see a breakthrough in some areas, and God's going to give you weapons to fight with. He reaches into a bag and he takes out a stone. You know, it's in that process with the Lord of the 40-day challenge that God shows you how to defeat giants in your life. Say amen to that. And so he'll give you weapons to fight. This is the scenario of David and Goliath. Let me give you another example. Elijah, when he was facing the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, he has this incredible encounter. The fire of the Lord comes. And then the Bible says that he, after this great encounter, that Jezebel, who is King Ahab's wife, threatens to kill him because he had gotten this victory. And so the Bible says that he ran for his life. He was running in fear. He was running for his life. And after he was hiding, listen to this verse in 1 Kings 19, verses 7 to 8. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. If you'll come on this 40-day challenge, God's going to give you strength for your journey. He'll give you strength for your journey. And so I found out this, that in that 40-day challenge, I run a lot further. I run a lot faster. Just like that lumberjack that seemed to be taking a break and sharpening his axe, I found the same thing, that when I take a break from food, when I take a break from some of the things that my flesh likes so much, whether it's entertainment or whatever it might be, I take a break from some of those things, I deny those things, my spiritual edge comes back, but then I have strength to run for the journey. Amen? And so you become less and he becomes more. Literally less. You become less. And I found out this when I run. In fact, when I first started running, and I can't remember if I was when I was in my 30s or 40s, when I decided I need to get back in shape. And I must have been in my 40s, because I had always heard that, oh, it's harder on your joints the older that you get. And I think that's true. But then I realized after I went on a 40-day fast, it wasn't my joints, it was my weight. My weight is what made my knees hurt. My weight was what made my feet hurt. And then I realized, wow, with less weight, I was able to enjoy it more. I was able to run more. Now, apply that spiritually, my brother and sister. A lot of times we're weighted down by a lot of stuff. But if we decide to let it go, focus on the Lord, the 40-day challenge, you're going to have strength for the journey. In other words, you're going to run easier. You're going to run with more joy. You're going to have strength for the journey. And there's a whole lot we could talk about this passage where Elijah was depressed. He was running. He thought he was the only one that was serving the Lord. He was fighting depression, but yet he had strength. I want to tell you this. If you're fighting depression and fear and anxiety, your solution might be to go on a 40-day challenge and you'll see a breakthrough happen in your life. I've seen it happen where people have been set free from these kinds of things because they went on a 40-day challenge. And so I'm here to tell you today, if you'll answer the call, answer the invitation to the 40-day challenge, you're going to have strength for the journey. You're going to be able to run your race. The sixth one you're familiar with is when Jesus, before he started the ministry, he went on a 40-day fast. And the Bible says in Luke 4, verses 1 to 2, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Now watch this. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. And then you remember he's tempted by the devil. He's tempted by Satan. But you drop down to Luke 4 and verses 14 to 15 when he comes out of the desert. It says this, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. You know what this was? This was preparation for ministry. I've discovered that on a 40-day challenge, if I'm fasting, if I'm praying, there's a sense of preparing ministry. for ministry. You're denying the flesh. You're getting the word of the Lord. You're getting strength for the journey. All of these components, you're getting weapons to fight. But God is preparing you for ministry. Even Jesus, who was the Son of God, denied his flesh. Even Jesus fasted and prayed. I think it makes sense that we also could learn something from fasting and praying, that we also could go on a journey. Now, again, it's not about legalism. We're not saying that you all have to go on a 40-day fast, only water. Be spirit-led. I found out this, that it's really about the heart. It's the motivation of it all. And again, but there's something about, if you could pray and say, you know what, Lord, is there something you want to give me to give up or focus on in this season where I show to you and myself that you're number one in my life? You'll get your spiritual edge back. You'll get your spiritual sharpness back. And there'll be a preparation for ministry. The seventh event is after the resurrection. And this is in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So for 40 days. Then you drop to verse 8, and he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. There's an empowerment that comes from the Spirit. Not only does he prepare you, but he empowers you. There's something about denying the flesh and receiving the power of the Holy Spirit to be released in your life. What's interesting about this is after the resurrection, there were 40 days. He appeared to them for 40 days. And then 10 days later, they went to the upper room and they're praying. And then Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the power of the Holy Spirit falls on them. And it was 50 days. From the crucifixion to the resurrection, from the crucifixion to Pentecost, and the power of the Holy Spirit is released. But Jesus comes to him for 40 days, and he gives him this promise. So there's this promise of being empowered by the Holy Spirit. I've discovered in my life that if I'll go on a 40-day challenge, if I will deny my flesh, I'll get my spiritual edge back. But because I'm denying the flesh, the power of the Holy Spirit is released in my life, is released in my ministry, I see it increase. I've got my spiritual edge back. Can you say amen, church? And so let me review these seven events. The first one is the flood. And so the promise and the reward is this, that there'll be an open window in your life, that there'll be more fruitfulness and multiplication. Secondly, Mount Sinai, a word from God. God will release his word to you. You'll come off of this experience shining, being more radiant for the Lord. Thirdly, identification with God's promises, saying, wow, I have the capacity to go in and take the land. Fourthly, David and Goliath, weapons to fight with. You will defeat the giants in your life. Fifthly, strength for the journey, like Elijah, who was hiding, who was fearful, who was depressed, but he had strength for his journey. Sixth, preparation for ministry, just like Jesus, who fasted for 40 days, but he came out of the desert with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then seven, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when you receive the Holy Spirit. And so these are seven examples, seven events of the power of 40. And so I've just discovered, and we've been doing this for 19 years now. For 2 years, we thought, oh, let's go to 21 days. I thought maybe that'll be easier. Let's just do 21 days. A lot of churches do 21 days. They're being spirit-led. And I just never felt right about that. I was like, no, for us, it's 40 days. Again, it's not legalistic, but for a season as a church, we're saying for 6 weeks, we want to give to the Lord. In other words, it's like a tithe to the Lord. It's like, Lord, let me give you the first 40 days of the year and just focus time with you, denying the flesh, beginning to pray, plan out my route on what you want me to do this year, and you'll see your spiritual edge and your sharpness come back. Can you say amen, church? And so we want to encourage you today. Pray. Pray about participating in our annual 40-day fast. And so be praying about different things. And I know that this could be awkward as we're talking about Christmas. So go ahead and eat, enjoy all those things. But in the back of your mind, be thinking, okay, we're going to start. We're going to start the 40-day fast, however the Lord leads you. And again, it could just be certain food groups. It could be a Daniel fast. It could be a media fast. It could be something like that. Now, one thing you should not do is fast from church. Because the Lord tells you not to forsake the assembly, right? So you don't have to go up to a mountain like Moses said. Just come right here and continue to connect. But I really want to encourage you, be praying about this, how you can participate in that. And we'll give you more information as we continue in this. And so pray about what you will give up so you can give more to the Lord. That's really what it's about. It's giving up something so that you can focus on the Lord. It's giving up food. Food is the sustenance of life. You got to have food to survive. So if you were willing to give up food and then go to Jesus, who's the bread of life, in other words, you're giving up something in order to go to Him. Okay, and we can talk to you about this stuff. We have books in our bookstore that you can look at fasting. We've done all kinds of fasts here. So I'm pretty confident that if you want to try something you haven't tried, come and talk to us, and you'll have some real-life experience that we can kick around and talk about together. But the point is this: what do you feel the Lord wants you to do? And if you do it with all of your heart, and it's one meal or one day or one time period of entertainment, and you give to the Lord, you're going to receive an unreasonable reward. It's a reasonable request, but it's an unreasonable reward, the blessing of the Lord. Amen? Let's stand to our feet today. Let's stand to our feet.